we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise
hey,
the Lord,
hey,
everybody.
Hey, 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 hey. This is not your program.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Good morning, everybody. I had to zap him. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, your modern-day Shulamite woman, and I'm the owner and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. I am so blessed to be in the house this morning, taking over the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, because today we are going to have a marvelous interview with Minister Adam. We're going to hear some of his testimony and just help you find out a little bit more about him. Hallelujah. So I am truly blessed, but as always, we begin our program with a word of prayer. Oh, Most High, we come right now in the name of Jesus, just praising you for this time and this season. Lord, I praise you. And I thank you for this mighty minister, Lord, your humble servant. So, Lord, I pray that you use us today, Lord, to empower, equip, impact, and activate your people to live a more abundant life right now. And if someone does not know you and the pardon of their sin today, I pray that they will hear something from this young minister that will give them cause for pause and give their lives to you. It is in the mighty matchless name of Jesus I do pray it all. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and to God be the glory again. You are listening to The Summit right here on the Spirit Alive Network for this Saturday, October the 30th, 2021. Now let's get into it. Hallelujah. Minister Adam, I am so glad to be able to sit down and interview this morning. So we're going to get into it. Ma'am. Could you please tell us about your upbringing and some of the people that influenced you most?
Well, my upbringing, I was born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. My dad, William Tuggle the Third, and my mom, Tony Miller, had me on November the 7th of 1987. My dad brought me to a church called Faith Tabernacle, which is on 52nd and Michigan Road in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I was then baptized at the age of 9 years old. Fast forward. At the age of 9 years old, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, and I received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost at age 9 underneath the leadership of Pastor Dorothy J. McGordon. I was served up underneath her for 20-plus years, and she was one of the ones that impacted my life spiritually. My dad is my validator other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my main validator. But I go to my dad a lot because my dad has been with me through everything that I've been through. Even now at almost 34 years old, I still go to him for advice. My mom is a big influence in my life. My stepmother is a very big influence in my life. My brother and my sister-in-law. And even my wife, one of the new influences that is in my life is my children. They keep me going. I love being a father. I have three boys, as I say on the show all the time, a 10, a 7, and a 5-year-old. They are a blessing to me. And, man, that's basically it. I mean, I have other people that I look up to as far as down through my life, as far as Bishop William L. Harris, who pastors Victory Tabernacle. He's a big influence in my life. He's given me advice on some things. So I thank God for the people in my life.
Amen. Now, Minister Tuggle, share with our listening audience how you came to the Lord, describe your experience of how you came to the Lord and what it did for your life when you did that. Amen.
One of the things that happened to me, the Lord was dealing with me at the age of eight, even before I had even thought about getting saved. The Lord started dealing with me. I was in a prayer meeting one night at my former church, and I just my pastor called all the young people to the front to pray. And at 8 years old, you know, you want to play around and everything, but my dad was very, very disciplined on prayer, on us praying, because at that time it was just me and my father at that time. And my dad was real big on, you know, praying and everything. So he had me come. He said, Adam, come up here to the front with the young people. You know, do what Pastor told you to do. And I started praying. And the Lord started dealing with me about being saved. And I didn't know what being saved was at that time. I really didn't get the big picture of it. But when I got in depth to it, is when on a Sunday morning, there was praises going on everywhere around the church. And my pastor was preaching, I forget the name of the title of the sermon. I think it was, "Do You See What I See?" And she was talking about her eyes, and it just, it hit me like a, like the Lord was, she kept saying, you know, the Lord is watching you, and the Lord is doing this for you, and the Lord is doing that for you, and he does that for you because he wants to take care of you. And the way he takes care of you is he died for you, and he wants to set you free from sin. And I said, that hit me, and I'm like, I'm in sin? I'm like, wow. And I didn't know anything. I mean, I knew what sin was, but I didn't really know what sin was as a child. And I wanted to know what sin was, and I had one of the bishops tell me what sin was, and my dad told me what sin was, and that, you know, the whole Adam and Eve story, you know, in the Bible at the beginning, and, you know, all that. And I'm like, well, if I'm in sin and I won't be able to see him, I won't be able to see God, what do I got to do? And my dad started, you know, telling me what I needed to do as far as receiving the Holy Ghost. And on a Sunday morning, at the age of 9 years old, I went down in Jesus' name and was filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I came back upstairs after being baptized, and my pastor asked me, he said, well, how do you feel, son? And I said, I feel great. And I believe church saved my life. I can say that.
Praise
and I'm
Lord.
Not talking about the building. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the body of Christ saved my life. God saved
Amen.
My life because he is the church. I didn't understand it being young that the Lord had saved my life. He saved me from the things that I was in spiritually, and he also saved me from the things that I was in naturally. He kept me so I could be saved. I could have died in my sins. I could have died when I was,
yes,
when I was a child,
yes,
when I was, you know, stricken with heart disease, but the Lord allowed me to live and to be able to have the opportunity to be saved. And so when I gave my life over, it was like when I got baptized, and when after that happened, my eyes were open, like everything looked brand new, and I was like,
hallelujah,
wow, this is amazing. And I'm like, I'm a kid, and I'm seeing, it was like I was seeing things for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so rejuvenated. I was so rejuvenated and wanting to tell everybody about Christ and going here, going there, telling everybody about Christ, telling my friends. I got baptized, y'all. And it was such a happiness. It was such a peace that came over me. When I was asleep, I was thinking about the Lord. When I was having dreams about, you know, what heaven was going to be like, and I would wake up and wanting to know more about the Lord and wanting to read my Bible and wanting to study and wanting to, it saved my life because it kept me from the things that my friends were doing, like getting into trouble and my friends that I used to hang with in high school, they said, they used to tell me, well, you're too safe. And there was a time in my life where I got upset about it. But then the Lord had to deal with me and tell me, you know what, they're saying you're too saved because they're not walking where you are. And not that you're better
Amen.
Than them. Not that you're better than them, but you're in a, I have you in a place of protection. And that's why I say,
yes.
That's why I said the church saved my life.
Hallelujah.
Because I could have been dead. I could have been. Where I don't even imagine where I could have been. And this is what the Lord
right.
does for us. This is what he does for us. When he saves your life, when he saves your soul, when he gives your life, when you give your life over to him, he saves you, especially at a, with being a young person, you are, if you are born and raised in church, and if you're saved at a young age, you are safe from a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that I
we'll
could have been
involved
in. We'll
talk about that a little later. Yes.
Ooh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Oh, hallelujah. Now, look, you getting so good with all of that. You, that testimony, part of your testimony was so good. Come on now, little brother. Tell us, because we, with that testimony, we are not surprised that you were called to ministry. With the people that are, were around you, we are not surprised that you were called to ministry. But now we want us to, you to tell us about your call to ministry.
My call to ministry, man, it was the Lord. Okay. And it's very funny because I was called when I was young. I was actually called to minister at age 14, maybe 13. At the end of 13, maybe 14, beginning of my age 14. And I ran from it. And it's very funny because I've said it on the on the show before that I liked, as a child, I liked pro wrestling. I liked watching it on TV. Anybody that knows me knows I liked it. And I wanted to be a professional wrestler. That's what I wanted to do. That was my main goal, to be a professional wrestler. I don't know why. As a child, that's what I wanted to do. And I told, the Lord had started calling me at age 14. And I said, no, I'm not going to, no. That's the way I was acting. And I was like, no, I'm going to be a wrestler. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. And the Lord then stopped dealing with me on it. The Lord didn't say anything to me about it anymore or anything like that. And it was when I was in middle school getting ready to go to high school. I was in my math class, and I had a substitute teacher in that class, and she was saved. And she went to a church that my former church had fellowshipped with. And I didn't know her name. I've seen her before. I had seen her at the church, but she didn't know my name. And she had said, we were sitting there going over a lesson, over a math lesson. And the Lord at 17 started dealing with me again about ministry. And I'm like, nope. And when I was in my classroom, this lady had said, Adam, where art thou? Now, this woman did not know my name. And I was writing, and I looked up, and I said, what did you say? I said, Adam, where art thou? I said, that's my name. She said, what? I said, yeah, that's my name. She said, well, the Lord must be calling you, because that was in my spirit. That was just dropped in my spirit to say that. And I'm like, well, the Lord had been dealing with me with ministry, and I had ran away from it. And she said, well, I think you need to go and do what the Lord told you to do. So that Sunday, I went to my pastor, and I talked to her about it, and she said, you know what? I'm going to see. And she said, we're going to pray about it. She said, I'm going to give you a week to pray about it. And I took that whole next week, and I prayed about it. And I kid you not, that week the Lord told me to read my Bible, and I was reading my Bible. And this is how I knew that the Lord had called me to ministry. I had fell off asleep, and I had had a dream that I was in a church. I was at my church. I could not see anybody. I heard people, but it was like a big blur where I couldn't see anybody. Only thing I saw was a figure standing in the foyer of my church, and I knew where I was, and I heard all the saints and everything, and this figure was standing in the foyer like an usher, and it turned around right when I entered into the door, and it turned around, and it grabbed me by the hand, and it was walking me down the aisle and it walked me up to the pulpit, and I saw a figure standing at the podium preaching, but I couldn't hear them. I heard everybody else, but I could not hear the person preaching. And I heard everybody say, yeah, preach, preach, go ahead, preach. And this figure, and I still believe to this day it was an angel, that walked me up to the pulpit, put me behind the person that was preaching, and pushed me. They stood behind me and pushed me. My body went into the person that was preaching, I was able to see everybody. And the Lord, and I immediately woke up, and the Lord said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to preach. And I told my pastor that next Sunday, and she said, you can go ahead and preach, and she allowed me to preach my first sermon.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we are so glad that you accepted your call to ministry. We are so glad that you are obedient to the Lord. But now we're going to shift gears because we're always about helping others. Hallelujah. Our testimony should help others. So tell us why you believe that we are losing as a community, the African-American community. I want you to speak on, as a man of God, as a called and sent man of God, on why you believe we are losing so many of our young men. And I want you to tell it from the, as the older people say, from the rooter to the tutor. I want you to tell it from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top, whatever God lays on your heart at this time.
Okay. Well, number one, it's not just the African-American men that we're losing. We're losing all men.
Amen.
One of the things that, from what I've seen, and I know this sounds cliche, and I know it sounds old-fashioned, but back in my generation, us as young people, we still had a love for the Lord. And you might say, well, I have a love for the Lord. Just because I don't go to church doesn't mean I have a love for the Lord. But one of the reasons why we're losing our young people is because, number one, the church is not doing what it needs to do in this season. We are losing our young people because,
come on,
number two, the young people are seeing us do whatever we big and bad enough to do, and they feel if you're doing that and I'm doing this, I'm doing the same thing you're doing, why do I need to? You're saying you're saved, so I must be already saved. Number three, the reason why we're losing our young people is because if we are living saved, if we are living holy, because holiness, with the Bible says holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Come on,
so we have to be holy. We have to be holy. And if we're walking holy in more areas than one, then in that one area could be, we're not telling our children they need to come to church. When I say force them to come to church, because back when I was growing up in my mom and dad's house, and you might say, well, you grew up in a Christian home, but that don't matter. Make them go to church. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Bible says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should go. Train the parent. The parent should tell them, hey, you get up and go to church. And let them see you go to church.
Yes.
Let them see you go to church. Go to church with them. Don't just send them to church, but go to church with them. And
that's right.
There's a lot of young people that you might say, well, those young people get antsy in the church and we need something to draw them. You don't have to. You can do everything in short of sin to draw young people. And I say it like this. I'm old school with it. Give them the same thing that they gave us. Give the young people the altar, because that's where they need to be. That's where they need to be. And don't let them. Don't, when they come to the altar, Don't let them sit there for 10 or 15 minutes. Let them be endowed with power from on high until they receive the Holy Ghost. I know it's a cliche for them to sit there for 15 minutes, speak a little gibberish, and that's it. No, that ain't it. We need more than that. These young people need more than that, and they need to see a life lived. They need to see a life lived, because if they don't see the life, they're not going to be drawn to it. The thing that drew me as a young person was my parents' life, was the life of the church, was the love of the church. It's not just the life, but it's the love. Show them love.
Yeah.
Because they what they think love is not actually love. Because if you're not loving, if we're not loving, and I'm not going to say if you're not, if we are not loving on our young people, the streets will show them false love. And what
Amen.
They think is love
say
is
that.
Not really love. What they think is love is not really love. It's actually a mind control thing with the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mind control. It's not for, it's just like my dad used to tell us all the time, and I'm sorry, Bishop, but I have to say this. My dad used to say, it's better for me to put my hands on my children.
Well,
I'm going to pick a spot. It's better for me to correct them than, and no offense, I
Amen.
Have no offense to the police.
Amen.
None whatsoever.
But
it's
will.
Better for me as a parent. It's better for me as a parent for me to put my hands on them than the police. Because why?
Amen.
Because
say
I'm
that.
I'm going to pick a spot. I'm going to pick a spot of they behind where they won't be abused or they won't
right.
be beaten on. But the police is not going to pick a spot. They're going to hit you wherever they go, wherever they choose to hit you at. Because they're trying to go home.
With deadly force.
And it's
force.
Just like that.
Mm.
It's just like that. We have
yeah.
to choose love. We have to choose the spot that we have to choose the spot for the young people that we got to choose whether to, we got to choose love over doing what they want. We
mm-hmm.
don't all, like, with my children, I don't give them, I let them have liberty. I let them have liberty. But there is no privacy in the home.
Right.
I go in their room. I go, this is love. This is what love is. I'm sorry. I'm done.
That's all right. You don't have
I
to be
go,
sorry.
I can go.
Tell the truth.
I can go in all
well,
day.
Well, you know,
I can go
it's
in all
important.
Day
And in that same vein, Minister Adam, there are people, young people, that are called early in life.
Right.
But they still need to go to the through the process. They still
right.
make mistakes.
Right.
But God
right.
is still able to use
oh,
them. I want you
right.
to speak on that for me.
If. Now, you have to know that you're called. You have to know that you're called, whether you're young, old, middle-aged, or whatever, wiser, whatever. You have to know that you're called by God to do this, because this whatever type of capacity of ministry that you have, you have to know that you're called, because it's a job. And in every job, whether if it's a natural job, a spiritual job, it's going to take work.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take dedication. Especially when you're dealing with spiritual, because being in ministry, I say for me, my pastor used to say being a pastor is a lot harder than being the president of the United States.
It is.
And you might say, well, why is that? Because you're dealing with people's souls.
Yes.
And so you're held accountable for every soul. Now, have I ever been a pastor? No, don't want to be. But I do say this for any type of ministry below being a pastor or a bishop. It still takes work. And your job
yes.
is still important, whether you're the pastor, the bishop, or the deacon. the food caterer, your job is important. And it's about when you're called to ministry, you have to have still, you still have to have love in there. You still have to put your best foot forward. You still have to have time and dedication to what you're doing, no matter what you're doing in ministry, because there are still souls at stake. You still have souls at
stake. Yes.
No matter what you're doing, no matter if you're the usher, no matter if you're the, the Bible says I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God.
I would too. Amen. Amen. Well, Minister Adam, continue. Go ahead, young man.
No job is better than the other. But what I'm saying is, if you're called to ministry, make sure that you're called. And don't
Amen.
Be doing it for no show. Don't do it for no show. Because if you're looking to do it for a show, and if you're saying, well, I'm doing this to get a blessing from the Lord, you don't already got your blessing, because if you're getting praised and all that stuff, that's your blessing right there.
Amen.
You got
your
reward.
Minister Adam, that was a good answer. But also, I want to tell young people, I have been in ministry and in servant leadership longer than Jesus was on the face of this earth. And many times I have, I see with especially young people who are called at an early age, there might be something and they're going along and they're doing well. But then they have an episode, a period, a lack of judgment. And I have watched those young people, you know, devastated because they felt like, well, of course they should. When we sin, we should never feel good about it. We should be devastated, and we should repent immediately, but not to the point that we will withdraw from God. So to that young minister, to that young usher, to that young man that's in the young ambassadors, or that young lady that's in the Girls of Virtue or Virtuous Women classes, I want you to speak to them, because they make infraction. We will always, all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to understand that when you are called, you might as well have put a target on your back, because you have become a straight up, for sure, enemy of Satan, and he wants to kill you.
Right, you have.
So
you
I
have.
Want you to speak to these young ministers and young people that are coming into ministry, because those are the people. We are at war, saints, and these are the people that he's going to go after. So I want you to speak to that.
Okay. Well, one of the things, I'm going to say this. I've been there. I've been in a time in my life where I had to step down from ministry because I fell short. It is better for you to, if you have fell short in ministry, it is better for you to sit down, get yourself together. Well, first repent of what you've done. Sit down, and you know what? When I say sit down, I mean take yourself out of all things that are ministry. But don't take yourself out of the will of God. Build yourself. Allow God to build you back up again. Because, yes, he still has need of you. Just because you fell short does not mean he does not have need of you.
Hallelujah. Say that.
He still wants you to do a work for him. Otherwise, you would be off the face of the earth. if he didn't. And yes, when you come into men, that's why I said you have to be, make sure that you are called, because you will have a target on your back. The first time you mention, the first time Satan hears you mention you're called to ministry, you best believe that the enemy, especially if you have a very high anointing on your life. Now, the Lord knows how far he's going to take you. The enemy does not. That's why the enemy brings stuff to us, especially if you're in ministry. The enemy's going to bring you stuff, I kid you not, and you might fall short. That's where repentance comes in. That's why the Bible says repent daily. Because we might do something that we have no recollection of, you know, your sense of commission, your sense of omission. But when you fall short, don't just lie in it. And don't try to continue to lie in it and continue to work either. Because
come on, that's good.
I heard an elder say there are people that are in sin that are still working and don't know that they have been fired by God.
Come on.
There are some preachers, teachers, pastors, bishops, ministers that have been fired by God, don't even know that they've been fired, but still are working in whatever capacity that they are in. And you might say, well, how do I know that they've been fired? They have lost their anointing. And once you lose anything that you do in ministry, you have to have an anointing behind what you are doing.
Yes.
Otherwise, you are just sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. And when you,
Hallelujah. When you fall short,
you become separate. When a person falls into sin, whether they saved or unsaved, especially if you saved and you in ministry, if you fall short upon you become separate from God, because sin stinks in the nostrils of God. He's separate from sin. The sin separates us from him. But when you find yourself in a place where you have fell short, where you fell in so deep that you think you can't get back up, you can get back up.
Yes.
You're listening to somebody that's gotten back up.
Hallelujah.
And got back to that place. But you have to take that time. It's just like a relationship. If you've ever been in a bad relationship, you have to take time out for yourself to get yourself back together again before you start moving into another relationship. Well, that's the same thing with ministry. That's the same thing with getting back into ministry. You have to take that time. So when you've repented of that sin, you take that time to sit down. If your pastor has to sit you down, let him sit you down. If you go ahead and tell your pastor, I need to sit down for a while. If you do that, I believe this, and I did this. I went to my pastor and told my pastor, I need to sit down. That shows more integrity about yourself when you do it and your pastor don't have to do it. But that sitting, and you might say, well, I'm sat down, everybody's going to be looking at me and da-da. No, baby, whoever you are, man, woman, boy, or girl.
Yes.
That's not a death sentence because you're sat down. That's a time for you to release all of that stuff that's in you, to get all that stuff out of you so Jesus can fill you back up again, so Jesus can give you back that anointing. And just like Job lost everything.
Yes.
And you might say, well, Job didn't sin. No, he didn't. But he lost everything.
But he lost it. Mm-hmm.
He lost everything.
Teach.
But guess what? At the end of it, he held his integrity. He didn't sit there and say, well, I'm down and out. I'm down and out. So I'm just going to lie here in my pitiful, pitiful self, and I'm just going to lie dormant. No. It's no lying dormant. Build yourself up. Start praying more.
Hallelujah. Preach now.
Even if sat down. You can still, the Lord, just because you sat down for ministry don't mean you have to stop fasting. Don't mean you have to stop reading your word. Don't mean you have to stop praying. The Lord didn't say that. The Lord just said, sit down for a minute. Just sit down and learn more. That's your time to learn more. That's your time to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. So in that time when you're set, when you're sitting down, that's the time to get yourself ready, because God's got something for you when you come out of that. God got something ready. God got something for you to do. And once you do it, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And you're going to be, see, Job received double for his trouble for what he went through.
Yes, he did.
And when you come out of that thing, you're going to receive the double the anointing, which means double the work, which means double the favor. And when you do double the work, you get double the reward. You get double the blessing. You get double. Come on. Come on. You get double for your trouble.
Come on, bruh.
But when you sit over there, when a person sits there and says, well, I'm going to continue to preach even though I'm in sin, I'm not going to repent, do you know you're doing two things? Number one, if you, because I've seen preachers do this, they continue in sin and they continue to preach. Like I said before.
Come on.
You lose,
tell the truth now. Come on.
You're not gaining anything. You're really not gaining anything except a trip to a devil's hell, because you're putting yourself where you are. You might say, well, how am I putting myself deeper? Because number one, you're not truly repented, because you're continuing to sin. You might say, well, Lord, I'll repent. But true repentance is an 80-degree turn. It's not a 365-degree turn. It's not a 360. It's a 180. Amen?
Amen.
So when you truly repent, man, Jesus, I'm trying to get off of this, but...
No, that's all right. Take your time. Come on
when
now.
When you truly repent, and you truly, when you truly get to the place where God wants you to be, things just lining in place. You'll start to see things lining in place. When you get out of the will of God, that's when things start messing up. And when you get in a place where, well, I'm just going to preach anyway, you got two things to deal with. You're dealing with people. When you preach and you still got sin in your life, you're drawing that stuff. You're bringing that mess on the people. Now you got an even bigger problem. Now you got a bigger problem, because now you have to answer for the thing you just did. On top of what you did before, because you don't want to sit your butt down somewhere. I'm sorry.
You better teach.
You don't want to sit down somewhere and learn something, but you want to preach. You want to do this and that, but you don't want to sit down. I'm very transparent on the summit, so I'm going to be very transparent. I've been sat down, okay?
Teach now, son.
And it hurts. It hurts. I understand. It hurts.
You feel like,
well, I'm not going to be able to teach nothing. I ain't going to be able to. I'm just going to be dormant and just sitting there. Yeah, it's supposed to hurt.
Come on, minister.
It's supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to make you feel good that you sat down. It's supposed to hurt. It's teaching you a lesson that if I do this again, or if I do something like this again, I could be in the same place. I can't do the work that God wants me to do. And think about it like this. If you're sat down and the Lord come back, because of what you did, you're lost, because you're not doing the work that God fulfilled for you. Your work's undone.
Come on.
So it teaches you a lesson. It teaches you a lesson. That's what it's there for. But you can get yourself back up. You can pick yourself. You can get, allow the Lord to heal you. When you're sat down.
Hallelujah.
When you have that place, study to show thyself approved. And once you are.
Glory to God.
To come back to your ministry. The Bible says, lay your work down. reconcile with ourselves. Sometimes it's not reconciled with people. Sometimes we got to reconcile with ourselves. Sometimes we got to reconcile with our walk with Christ. We got to reconcile with God.
Come on.
We got to reconcile with God, none less people.
Yeah,
so reconcile
Jesus.
With God. Study to show thyself approved. And once you get approved by God, to get your job back, to get your job back and won't be fired spiritually
ever again.
God will give you your job back and you can go.
Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Thank you, minister. All glory to God. Glory to God. We have heard a hallelujah testimony here on today. And Minister Tuggle, I just want to tell you that you always bless me. You are the type of young person that pastors, apostles, the elders, we love to hear and we love to see. Because what you do and what you are doing, young man, to your father and your mother and your pastor and all of those wonderful people that poured into you, you said to God, I heard them and I heard you. And I am honoring you both with the way I live my life. And I just want to praise God for you. Now, we have about 10 minutes left. So in this last five, I want you to just reach out to people around the world and give them a final thought before we close our program.
Okay. Well, I didn't really get depth into it, but everybody knows that I have suffered from heart disease and dealt with health issues all my life, and the Lord delivered me. And I guess you could say this is off the call right now. But the same God that delivered me from that, the same God that saved me,
come on,
save you.
Hallelujah.
If
that's
you
right.
need deliverance in anything, you need deliverance health-wise, mentally, physically, the Lord has his arms stretched wide open.
Yes.
Ready for you to come.
Yes.
He says if you take one step, he'll take two.
Yes.
We said it on the show before about the poem Footprints. There was two sets of footprints. And then all of a sudden, when the storm started raging, there was one set of footprints. And at the end of that storm, the man asked God, where were you when the storms of life in my life were raging? And he said, I only saw one set of footprints. Lord, where were you? And the Lord told him, he said, those one set of footprints were my footprints. I was carrying you through the storm. And he can carry you through the storms of life, but you got to be willing to give your life. My pastor preached a sermon one time. She said, a life for a life. He gave his life so that you might have eternal life. He wants to give up. He gave up his life so that you might have life, and that more abundantly.
Yes.
My pastor says, Pastor William Tuggle, he says, in the scripture it says that there shall be a great falling away for the ones that are saved. I'm talking to the ones that are saved and even the ones that ain't, that there shall be a great falling away. But your name was not written there. You don't have to be in that great falling away. So if you choose the Lord today, I ask you to choose the Lord today. There's a song, there's an old song that says, tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today. It was so much easier to say tomorrow. But who's to say tomorrow will ever come?
Come on, young man.
Tomorrow's not promised to us. Tomorrow's not promised to us. The very next second is not promised to any of us. So while you have the time now, I would love it. My pastor always says, I don't beg nobody to do nothing. I don't beg nobody to do nothing either. But I beg you to give your life over to the Lord. I beg you to repent of your sins. I beg you to go down in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Yes.
As it states in Acts 2 and 38, that all I have, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. All I have is Jesus. That's what I have, and I give him to you.
Amen, freely. Yeah, we're going to share.
It's freely gift.
Freely.
This is a free gift. This is a free gift. If you ever seen, my kids love Christmas. My kids love Christmas. And they say, well, I'm ready for Christmas. And they, on their birthdays and on Christmases and stuff, they're ready for their gift. But they don't know that we, as parents, have to go out and buy their gifts. We have to spend money. But this gift that I'm talking about, you don't have to have no money for it. You ain't got to have nothing for it. It's freely given.
Come on, bro.
It's freely given. And it don't matter what color, what gender, whatever color creed you are. And it don't even matter what religion you are.
Come on.
Because he said he's coming back for a church. He ain't for denomination. He said he was coming back for a church.
Amen. Amen. We just praise God for what we have heard on today. I am so happy that I was able to come in and take over the summit to sit down and have this wonderful conversation with this awesome young minister of God. Now, we pray that if you have given your life to Christ, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would get yourself connected to a Christ-driven church, a repentance-preaching, transformation-teaching church.
Amen.
You would indeed do as Minister Adam has admonished you to do and study to show yourselves approved. And we also pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. So it is our first, and I'm going to bind this beautiful testimony with prayer. Father God, I just pray in the name of Jesus that all who heard this beautiful testimony today will be inspired, oh God, will be encouraged, oh God, to understand that it is a process. Walking with you is a relationship, a daily relationship that takes work. Now, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that we as your believers would do all that we can do to encourage our young people, to uplift our young people, to help them to become all that you would have them to be. Hallelujah. We pray in the name of Jesus that we would be living examples of your love and who you are and how you operate, Father God. And, Lord, we just thank you right now for the souls that were won in this moment, right now, today, because we know that your word does not come back void. It always goes out and does exactly what it is supposed to do. So continue to bless this young man, oh God, because you said in your holy word that you are a rewarder of those who are obedient to your word and your ways, Lord. Lord, continue to bless him in the city and in the field. Continue to bless him and his family, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, I just pray right now that you will continue to give him wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment as he goes forth. And Father, I thank you that he too is leaving a legacy of love and faith, not just for his children, but to all of us in the world. So we praise you now, we thank you, we glorify you, and we magnify you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Close your program, Minister Adam.
Amen. This has been the summit of Minister Adam Tuggle, and this, well, not today, not with Adam Tuggle. This has been the summit with Bishop Charlene Cook. Amen.
You on better
today.
Tell him.
God bless you. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. And next week, sad to say, I will not be here because I will be on vacation because it is my birthday on next Sunday. So as it states in Acts 2 and 38, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you're in the Indianapolis area, visiting or live in the Indianapolis area, you can come over to Triumph in Faith Apostolic Church. We will love you to life. The address is 2950 North High School Road. We will love you to life. And my pastor and my first lady, they will feed you the word. Amen. Not only spiritually, but sometimes naturally, y'all. Amen.
Come
Hallelujah.
On now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So,
Hallelujah.
God bless you. I love each and every one of you. And until the following week, like my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, or in this case, since we're on the radio, if you don't hear my voice again, you will hear me in the rapture in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name.
I love
name.
You.
Hey, y'all are almost shot. Yay.
Hallelujah.
I'm about to start some up in here, y'all. I'm sorry.
Right now, we are just so happy that you listened today, and from my house to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye
Amen.
Transformed. Have a beautiful and blessed weekend, everybody. We love you. God bless you.
God bless y'all.
Love you, Adam.
Love you too, Bishop.